James chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. We're talking about a serious issue that we have in our culture, which is the issue of materialism. And I think sometimes we think of all the evils that are in the world today that materialism wouldn't be a very bad deal. I think it's kind of a dangerous deal to be exact with you. I want to read you a funny story. This illustrates how materialistic we can become. It says, a very successful lawyer parked his brand new Lexus in front of the office, ready to show it off to his colleagues. As he opened the door, a truck came along and completely tore off the driver's door. The attorney immediately grabbed his cell phone, hit speed dial for 911, and had a policeman there in 3 minutes. Before the cop had a chance to ask any questions, the lawyer started screaming hysterically. He had just picked up the Lexus the day before, and now it would never be the same, no matter how good a job the body shop does. As the lawyer finally wound down from his rant, the cop shook his head in disgust and disbelief. I can't believe how materialistic you lawyers are, he said. You are so focused on your possessions that you don't notice anything else. How can you say such a thing? He responded indignantly. The cop replied, you didn't even notice that your left arm is missing from the elbow down. It must have been torn off when the truck hit you. Oh no, he screamed in shock. Where's my Rolex? Okay. I thought that was good. And I very seldom read anything funny and even try to do anything funny because that's just not my personality. But I thought that illustrated pretty well materialism and how out of control it is. You know, his arm's missing and all he can think about is the Rolex that should have been on his arm. And materialism, I don't think it starts out as a bad thing, but with time, it becomes something very, very dangerous. Let me give you a definition. What does it mean? What does it mean to be materialistic? Well, in Webster, it says this. It's a way of thinking that gives too much importance to material possessions rather than to spiritual or intellectual things. In other words, it gives too much attention to stuff and not enough attention to intellectual or spiritual things. Now, there's three misconceptions about materialism in our culture, and I promise you these are true. The first one is this. Having more things will make me happy. That is just not true. As a matter of fact, I started studying this from a psychological standpoint this last week. And study after study after study has shown that having stuff can actually make you depressed and lonely and is the worst thing you could have in your life. More stuff. But a lot of people think if I just have things, if I have that new car, if I have this, if I have that, I will be happy. Now, the truth is, it can bring temporary happiness. All things can bring you temporary happiness, but they don't give you lasting happiness. We just had a garage sale yesterday. There was a lot of things in that garage sale that no longer brought people happiness. Lots of things. Some of them were my things. We need to understand that more stuff. As a matter of fact, Ecclesiastes says in Ecclesiastes 5:10, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. That's just, unfortunately, a truthful life. Don't believe the lie that stuff will make you happy. As a matter of fact, there's never been someone that was dying that had a kid or a relative say, I wish you'd given me more stuff. It's always about time and you and love. And But the lie of society is stuff makes you happy. Second thing, having more things will make me more important. Valuables should not determine your value. How much stuff you have should not determine how valuable you are. Don't confuse your self-worth with your net worth. They just aren't in the same category. Matter of fact, you know, there's a sticker about dying with the most toys. I like this sticker about that. It says, "He who dies with the most toys dies." It's in the game, in the story. In other words, so what? You still die. And guess what? Somebody gets your toys. And usually that's when the fighting begins in families. So having more things will not make... And here's another one. Having more things makes me more secure. Some people think if I just had more, I'd be more secure. The truth is, the more things you have, probably the more insecure you become. In other words, I don't have a yacht. So I don't have to worry about the barnacles on my yacht. You know, I don't have to worry about my yacht needing repair. Why? Because there's only one thing in life that you can have security in. It's not your stuff. It's not even your family. You can lose your family. There's only one thing you can't lose. That's a relationship with God. Only thing you can't lose. And so if we're looking for security, we need to understand we can't find it in stuff. We can't find it in things we have. What happens is they start to possess us. We need to listen to the words of James about the dangers. And then if we're struggling with materialism, because here's what happened. If you're not careful, you'll give your family a portion of you, but not you. And it's because this pursuit of stuff. So let's look at James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Not very many verses, but very powerful verses about the danger of materialism. And James is the half-brother of Jesus, and so, you know, he's got a pretty good handle on what really matters in life. And so in James 5, he gives us this warning, actually, about the dangers of material possessions. And I had James, and I went right past it. There we go. All right, James 5, verse 1. Now listen. He says, "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and your silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you." Now, in this passage, I think we find several dangers of materialism. Remember what materialism is. It's the pursuit of things. It's maybe working two jobs to get a thing. And there's dangers to living your life in such a way that you're just trying to get stuff. And the first danger is this. It will destroy you. In verse 1, James is warning the rich people that were living at that time. He is warning those Christians to not envy those rich people who had lots of money but didn't have a relationship with God. And the thing we need to understand is if we are not careful, our pursuit of riches and wealth and things can lead us away from a relationship with Jesus Christ. We can be so consumed with getting stuff that our whole life is built around getting things, getting stuff. And we need to understand there's an equation. And here's, I'm not a math person. My wife teaches math. But here's an equation for you. Money minus Jesus equals misery. I don't care how much you have. I don't care how much you own. You take Jesus away, you've got nothing but misery coming. And so we need to understand that James is addressing those people and he's saying, guys, listen, you may see those wealthy people in your society and you may envy them and you may think they've got everything that they need to be happy. But what he is saying there is without a relationship with God, they have nothing to look for but judgment. And we need to understand that if we are not careful, materialism will destroy us, the desire for stuff. Because you see, every person has a place within them that they're trying to find happiness or trying to fill it with things. There's this emptiness, this vacuum, and what they find is everything they put in there, a bigger house, a nicer car, a better job, more money, in the end doesn't fill the void in their life. There's only one thing that can fill that void, and that is Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that materialism or this pursuit will destroy you. I read article after article where depression and loneliness and unhappiness and marriages breaking up can directly be traced back to the pursuit of stuff. I've got to have this. I've got to have this to be happy. I've got to work harder to get this, and I've got to work harder to get that. And what we don't realize is we all of a sudden leave God out, and it just eventually destroys us. And here's the second thing about stuff. It's temporary. It is temporary. He says, your wealth has rotted. Probably what he's referring to there is your food source. Our kids are, they're crazy. When they come to our house and they go into the pantry to check our food, they're not checking to see what we have. You know what they're checking? Expiration dates. Now, you know, I've wondered about that. I'm just common. If it expires on March 31st and it's a cereal, if I eat it on April 1st, am I really in danger? I mean, a 24-hour span, you know. But he says there, your wealth has rotted. And the picture is these wealthy people had plenty of food, but it's all rotted. Now, I will agree, I'm a little more cautious with meat. If it says the meat expires on 4/6, I'm kind of scared to even eat it on 4/6. Julie, last night, I was supposed to buy 2 pounds, right? I don't know how this happened. I went to Sam's. I was supposed to buy 2 pounds of meat. I bought 4 pounds of meat. And it was going to expire yesterday. And so guess what we did? We cooked all that meat up yesterday, you know? I don't eat rotted meat. I mean, it makes me a little nervous. But the picture here is these people, their wealth has rotted, and their clothes are eaten by moths. How many of you have had that happen? We had a problem in Monroe, Louisiana. I don't know what the deal was. We started getting out clothes, and they would look great until you see that little hole. And I'm like, I don't see moths flying around. Where are they coming from? Now, we haven't had that problem here yet, but the picture here is these wealthy people, their wealth is temporary. The food's rotting. Their clothes are beginning to have holes in them from the moths. And then also it talks about their gold and silver is corroded. The picture here is all their security, all their stuff is temporary. Isn't that true with everything you own? I mean, everything you own is temporary. There's not a single thing that you own that's going with you when you die. Everything is temporary. Why do we live our lives pursuing stuff that's going to be given to somebody else in a garage sale? Now, I'm not against stuff, but I'm saying it can't, a second job to get more stuff that we really don't need is stupid, because it's all going to go in a garage sale someday. The danger of materialism is that it's temporary. The most tragic memory I have of this, I had an uncle, great uncle actually, Uncle Frank, very wealthy individual. And I remember he didn't have a lot of stuff. He didn't buy stuff. He was just the opposite. He saved to be saving. We heard he was worth over $1 million, and I never knew. I do know this: one time he glued a penny in the boys' bathroom to the floor to see if anybody had tried to pick it up. And I tried. Made him happy. But when he died, here's the tragedy to me. And I didn't think it was funny. They put money in his pocket and they said if anybody could take it with him, Frank could. But here's what was bad. Frank couldn't take it. You see, it's all temporary. You will leave every single thing you have to somebody else. Now, I'm not trying to be morbid, but I'm just trying to be honest. We need to feel sorry for those people who only have things and stuff and have no relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to feel concerned about them. We need to understand that when we buy something, it's temporary. It won't even make us happy for very many days. And we need to understand that hoarding things, that hoarding wealth just for the purpose of having it is wrong. The truth is, you may be able to help someone that just has a simple need like food, but you can't do it because you're saving, saving, saving. But you could drop dead tomorrow. Jesus told this story. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 13. It said, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with him." Jesus replied, "Who appointed me to be a judge or arbitrator between you?" Then he said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist," now get this, "in the abundance of his possessions." And then he says this, and then he told them a parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store the crop." Verse 18 says, then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?'" And then he says this, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." Here's the deal. You may have a lot of things. You may have more things than I do. But the truth is, both of us are going to leave it behind. The only one that it really matters, the only thing that really matters is, are you ready to die? Because it doesn't go with you forward. It stays behind. And if you spend all your life making money, I want everybody to have a job. I'm not against that. But what good is it if you lose your marriage, if you lose your kids, if you lose your health for something that you're going to lose anyway? It's temporary. And we need to understand that it can also lead to theft. Materialism, the desire to get more stuff, can lead to theft. It says in verse 4, "Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you." The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Here's the thing. This desire for wealth is the reason many people get killed. I just never have understood. I know a divorce can be a costly thing. This week we saw about the guy that is getting a divorce from his wife at Amazon. She's now the fourth richest woman in the world. But you know, there's a lot of people that think, well, I'll just kill them and I'll get it all. Isn't that right? Watch crime TV. People want money so bad that they're willing to steal, they're willing to kill to get. And God is watching. In the Dominican, I learned a long time ago that in our church, when we would help the Haitian people in the Dominican, the Dominicans, the non-Christian Dominicans, would rip them off. And here's how they would do it. The Haitians had very little food and they were very weak, and a day's work was a day's pay. And what they would do is they would hire these Haitians to do a day's work, and they'd work them real, really, really hard. And a lot of these people didn't have enough food. And so what would they do? Towards the end of the day, they'd get sick or couldn't work or didn't have the energy. And so guess what? They didn't have to pay them. They didn't finish the day's work. They agreed for a day's work. And so we always made a point, if they worked a day, we paid them better than what the Dominicans would pay them, because they would rip people off. They'd save money. And I think a lot of times what you see in our culture is you see people not being paid fairly for what they've done. That's a bad thing. But also the other thing that is bad as well is if you steal from the person who's paying you. The danger of materialism is that you will take advantage of other people and do anything possible to not pay them what they deserve. And what causes that? Well, it says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not money's evil. It's that love, that unreal love that we have is the cause of it. Fourth thing in verse 5, materialism can lead to meism. It says, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the days of slaughter. What happens is this desire for things makes you very selfish. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. I work hard to get the toys that I want to have in my life. Ecclesiastes 2:1 says, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But I learned that too is chasing after the wind. Listen, this having stuff and being concerned only about yourself is dangerous. Listen, that's part of the problem of our world today. It's all about me. It's not about your neighbor. It's not about that person. There's a danger of that. Then the next one is it can lead to murder. And I mentioned that a second ago. Some people will murder to keep their money. Some people will murder to steal money. Those are all the things that go to accomplish possessing things. But how do you break free of that? It's a terrible way to live. It's a terrible way to live when you work all the time to keep your stuff up. You don't even get to enjoy it because you're working so much. So how do you break free from materialism? Number one, resist comparing what I have to what other people have. 2 Corinthians 10:12, it says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. Listen, one of the biggest problems you'll have with materialism, if you start comparing what you have with what somebody else has. Listen, someone's always going to have more than you do. Someone's going to have more money. They're going to have better cars. They're always going to have more. Quit comparing yourself. Maybe their husband's going to be kinder. Maybe their wife's going to be more. There's always going to be someone that has more than you. And the biggest problem we have is we see so-and-so, and so-and-so has a car better than me. I need that car. Or my house needs to be bigger. Quit comparing. Here's the thing my dad taught me a long time ago. Develop the attitude, who cares about what anybody else has? I mean, does that bother you? It doesn't me. You have a nice car. I'm like, good. You also either paid for it in cash or you have a nice car payment. That's why I look at it. You have a bigger house. I'm thinking, good. You either have a bigger house payment than me or you got plenty of money. It's no big deal. Why do we always compare? If you want to break free from materialism, quit comparing yourself. Focus on what is important. What is important? Let me tell you, the only thing that is important are those things that last forever. There's only one thing that lasts forever. People. Your family, your kids, your neighbors. People are the only thing that lasts forever. Everything else is temporary. Now, they're going to either last forever in heaven or they're going to last forever in hell. I don't know. But I do know this. We invest in a lot of things when the only thing that really lasts are people. Quit comparing yourself with other people. Don't let that destroy you. Don't get that extra job to get extra junk. Let me tell you what. If you got kids or grandkids, and I'm now a grandparent, let me tell you what. I want my kids and my grandkids to remember me for me. It's laughing, it's playing, it's going outside, it's spending time. I don't care what somebody else... Let me tell you what, I do know this. If you spend time and love on your kids and grandkids, you're giving them the biggest gift they could ever get. And toys don't buy anything. They're temporary. They just play with a box and a bat and some other things. So don't compare yourself. The second thing... Rejoice in what you do have. Be grateful for what you do have. If you got a spouse, be grateful. Somebody doesn't. If you got a house, be grateful because there's those people who don't. If you've got... I think sometimes we just need to do an inventory of what we do have and thank God for everything we do have. I mean, seriously... Ecclesiastes 6:9 says, better what the eye sees than the roving of the appetite. In other words, we all have this appetite that will never be filled by stuff. So you need to sit down and just say, okay, Lord, instead of complaining about what I don't have or trying to get what I don't have, I'm going to try to be thankful for what I do have. Just do an inventory and thank Him for your feet because you couldn't have walked here today without your feet. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Contentment is not natural. It's something you have to learn. Paul said, I've learned the secret and I have learned the secret to being content in any and every situation. And that secret was found in Philippians 4:13 is, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Begin to find contentment in what you do have. And let me tell you what, I am learning less is more. As I get older, less is more. Because I realize I'm not going to have it that much longer. Third thing you can do to fight materialism, you're going to say, this is a preacher thing. Give God your 10% of what you make. Now, I know somebody's saying, no, all those preachers, all they talk about, they want my money. Listen, I'm just going to tell you here's what I do know. When God's got control of your money, He has control of your possession of stuff. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth. And then he says, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled. There's strategies. How do you fight against materialism? Materialism is getting, right? You get something. You get things. That's materialism. And let's say it's got a control of your life. How do you fight that? By giving. First, you give to God. But I'm going to go a step further. Not only should you give to God, you ought to give to help people. It's not all about going and giving to church. It's about using your money to help other people. And in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, it says this, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." Then he says this, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share." You want to fight materialism in your life? Two things. Give to God and help people. Two separate things. You're saying, "You're kidding me. All you guys talk about is giving money." That's not true. You can go online and look at the number of times I see it. It's not very often. But when it comes up, it's like, okay, I'm going to have to be honest with you. You honor God, but don't forget your neighbor. Let me challenge you to find joy in helping someone else. Find joy in helping someone else without them even having to ask. Someone who has a legitimately... Listen, if your heart's right, it'll make you happy. And nobody in the church even has to know about it. It's you helping someone else. That's how you deal with materialism. You give. You give to help people. You give to honor God. That's how you do it. And then the last thing, you refocus on permanent values. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, in Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And I'll just say this. I think, honestly, you need to consider the most important asset that you have is your family and your kids. When I talk about assets, it's people. Your family, your kids. That is wealth. Set your mind on the things. Don't think about what you can give them now, stuff. Think about what you can give them spiritually. Think about how you can help them spiritually. I tell you, the most sad commentary in life is those who have worked so hard to give when those around them just wanted this one thing called time. Seriously, time. James Dobson, of Focus on the Family, said this. He said, "I will consider my earthly existence to have been wasted unless I can recall a loving family, consistent investments in the lives of people, and an investment and earnest attempt to serve God who made me." So three things: my family, an investment in people, and my attempt to serve God faithfully in a local church. He said, "I consider myself to be a failure." Here's the deal. And this may help you. And you can, are you making a living or are you making a life? There's two different things. You can make a living and not make a life. Your purpose is to make a life, to glorify God with everything that you have, to invest in those things that last forever, which are people, and understand everything you have is going to go to somebody else. Right? When you die, do you take one single thing with you? Nothing. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand that without you, every dime we have is worthless. Millions of dollars is you're the only thing that really matters. And Father, may we concentrate on making a life and not just making a living. And Father, may we understand the greatest thing that we can give our family and friends and neighbors is us. Father, I thank you for garage sales. Because with every garage sale, I'm reminded of how temporary and unimportant things really are. Help us to focus on the right things, and that's you. I ask this in Jesus' name.